of a message that's been on my heart for a while now, but you got to wait for God's timing. Today I wanted to talk about God's love, the driving force. And we've been talking about vision, getting a vision from God, submitting to that vision that God gives, following that vision, growing in that vision. It's really important that we do that. We spend time with the Lord to get his vision. We can find out what he is asking us to do and all. But then the question begs, why? Why do we want to do that? And what would possess us to basically spend all that time to get a vision from God unless we really believe that he wants what's best for us? And it comes down to that love. If we really believe God loves us, then we will be willing to submit to that and follow him in whatever it looks like, even when it doesn't look good. And I kind of shared some things, and most of you know a lot of what's been going on in our lives, and it's like, we don't understand. We don't necessarily know, but God, my two favorite words, but God, and we can trust that. We know that God loves us, and he's going to take us into greater things. He's always going to give us an upgrade when things don't quite go right. He's going to upgrade us. And that's what we lean towards. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For the love of God constrains us." This constraineth us is the King James word. It's not just to make it sound flourishing. It's trying to make you understand that this is a continuing act, this constraining. So I started looking it up in other versions, and some say controls and compels. Some say urges and impels, presses, guides, rules, motivates, drives, makes us press on. I love this one. Moved me to such extremes. My term that I would use is overwhelms me until I can't help myself. That's what I would put in there. That's what it's trying to say. See, it's God's love that's the driving force that just impels you, compels you. It overwhelms you until you just can't help but follow through. This morning was a good example. God's love overwhelms you to the point you just, why am I doing this? I have no idea why I'm doing this. I'm doing this because you trust God. You know that God loves you. You know that God loves everyone else here. And so you just step up and do it. Anyway, regardless. I'm going to move kind of quick through some of these just basic foundational things that I just have to touch on. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You all know those scriptures. Do you know his love, though? Do you really understand the intensity of this love? That this was the greatest love that was ever given. We often miss the depth of this. We often miss how strong this was. God so loved his cosmos, his creation. That word "so loved," it kind of gives that intensity. It shows how strongly, but it really means, if you look at that word, that so loved the world, that so isn't just an intensity. It really means in this way. It means in this way. So God so, in this way, loved the world. And then there's the explanation. It says in this way, and then it gives you the explanation. God, in this way, loved the world. What did he do? He gave his only begotten Son. His only. It's trying to, again, give you that intensity. His only. That means telling you that's his all. He's giving you everything. Everything that's important. Kind of like the widow woman with the two mites. Jesus said she gave everything she had. Was she naked? She had clothes on. It's not literally everything, right? The Bible has no problem saying that someone was naked. When Jesus was being taken, the guy ran away naked. Scripture says that he took off naked. It said Saul laid there prophesying naked, right? So the Bible has no problem saying when people are naked. It didn't say the widow woman was naked, but he was trying to say everything that she had of any value to her, that's what those two coins represented. That's what he's saying in this, his only begotten Son. It's saying his very own, all that he had. Okay, Genesis chapter 1. We're just going to touch on this really quickly, talking about the creation and the intensity of God's love for us. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This was his idea to start everything, his idea to create everything. It's like husband and wife get together, and they're like, I'll just use us as an example. We've been married for a few years. It's like, kind of like, what's the next phase of life here? We just felt that nudge to move on to the next phase of life. Have kids. It just makes sense. You have children. That's what God was like. It was his idea. He wanted to have some kids, but he started a process here. In the beginning, he created the heaven and the earth. I saw this. I was on my Bible app a couple of days ago, and I said, take this quiz. See how good you know your Bible. So I went through and answered the 10 questions, and I only got 9 right. I'm like, seriously? And I said, oh, you're a Bible scholar, blah, blah, blah. It's dumb, but anyway, so I had to go look back, and it said, in how many days did God create the heaven and the earth? 7, 6, 12, or 1? I said 1, because that's what the Word of God says. It says, in the beginning, and the earth was, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was formed without void. Darkness was upon the face of the waters, and God moved. We'll get into that. This was day 1. So in day 1, he created the heaven and the earth. It said, well, he did it in 6. Well, no, he created in 1 day, and then he fine-tuned it after that. Okay, so I just let him have that anyway. I know I'm right. It doesn't matter. Back in school, yeah. I'm right. You can think whatever you want to think. What would Andrew say? I could agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong. Anyway. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. This word moved, the zerachaf. It means to brood. It means to shake, flutter, move. That brooding is the idea of a bird. How a bird will brood over her nest. In Deuteronomy 32:11, it says, as an eagle stirs up her nest and fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them up on her wings. That word fluttereth there is the same word, rachaf. It means to flutter, to shake, like a bird will go over a nest and shake until it's down and feathers and stuff like that comes to make a nice resting place. Fix up the nest. God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit was there fixing up the earth, not just leaving it without form and void and dark. He wants it dressed up for his kids. Moving on. Okay, and verse 3, and God said, that's important, but let there be light, and there was light. Another thing, verse 4, and God saw that the light, it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. God called the darkness, the light day and darkness night. Evening and morning were the first day. I love that. God said, God saw, and it was good. God is so proud of himself. He's so thrilled with it. Look at what I did. Look at that. That's why we're like that. Honestly, we're created in his image, right? So when you do something, you look at that and you go like, I did that. Isn't that cool? Why? Because God did that. God's like, I made that. And it was good. Okay. Verse 6, and God said, there he goes again, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, so let them divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. God said, it was so. God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and morning were the second day. See, going back to day 1, it was 1 day. Anyway, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Jeremiah 1:12 says, he's talking to Jeremiah. He asks him a question. Jeremiah answers. And the Lord said unto me, it says unto Jeremiah, thou hast seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it. I see that in these scriptures. God said, God saw, it was good. He's hastening his word. He says it, and he's going to make sure it happens. It comes to pass. Verse 10, and God called the dry land earth, gathered together the waters, called the seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, herb-yielding seed, and the fruit-yielding tree-yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. God saw it was good. Evening and morning were the third day. We're going to come back to that real quick, that the earth is bringing forth the grass and the tree yielding fruit. Let's go on for a second. Evening, morning were the third day. God said, this is verse 14, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven, divide the day from night, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, for days, and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven, to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made the two great lights, greater light to rule the day, lesser light to rule the night. He also made the stars. You see his intricacy that he keeps doing. He keeps weaving everything. It's like, not yet, not yet, not yet. I want to make this perfect. I want this to be just right. God set them in the firmament to make the heaven and give light upon the earth as to rule over the day and over the night, divide light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Evening and morning were the fourth day. I'm going to get into a little bit of an interesting thing here that has nothing to do with my message, but God said, verse 20, let the waters bring forth abundantly moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moves, which the water brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. Then what? And God saw that it was good. 22, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth, evening and morning, or the fifth day. Now we'll get into that topic. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. Cattle, creepy thing, beasts on the earth, after its kind. And it was so. God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the face of the earth after its kind. And God saw, and it was good. Here's that point. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Scripturally, let's go by the word of God. What came first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken, exactly. Now, some people will go back and say, well, when he said, let the earth bring forth grass, and so he planted seeds, and the earth brought forth grass. Well, he didn't say that. He didn't say that he planted seed. He said, let the earth bring forth grass and fruit trees and things like that, so that they will contain seed that will perpetuate and make and create after its kind, right? It says the earth is bringing that forth. When he says he created the great whales, he said, let the water bring forth abundantly. So did he put seeds in the water so that great whales came about? No, it says God created great whales and every living thing that moves, this is verse 21, that moves on the waters. If you jump back down to verse 24, he says, let the earth bring forth living creatures after its kind. So, if we're going to say that he planted seeds which sprouted grass and herbs and trees, fruit trees and things like that, then that means he also planted whale seeds and cattle seeds and creepy thing seeds, because he said, let the earth bring forth every living creature. So if the earth brought it forth, and we're going to say he put seeds in the ground to bring forth plants, that means we have to say he put seeds in the ground that brought forth cattle. But we know that's not how cattle comes. So he's saying the earth brought them forth because we're made of earth. Just like he made us out of the dust of the earth, he made the animals out of the dust, he made everything out of the earth that he made, right? He had them form in the water. So, yes, which came first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken. He created the animals to reproduce. He created the trees to reproduce. He created the whales and the fish and the birds to reproduce. He didn't create the seeds and then had them grow. And Adam's like, I'm hungry. When is this tree going to grow? And he's waiting for 5 years to go by for the tree to grow big enough to be able to produce something to eat. It wasn't like that. Since we're there, let's get into verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion. over the fish of the sea that follow the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over all the creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He didn't plant them in the ground, and then we popped up out of the earth. God created us out of the earth. God created. We got to keep that in mind. God created. And how did he do it? God said, and it was so. That's how God creates. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. If you are a believer in the Word of God, there's the answer to all of these issues that are going on in the news and all of the strife that's happening, and one side wants one thing, one side wants the other thing. I don't know. I don't know what side to be on. I'm going to be on the side of where it says, here in the Word of God, so I'm going to believe God for my healing. I'm going to believe God for everything else. He's going to provide for me. If he's going to do all of that, then his word has to be true. And his word says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Moving on. And God blessed them, the man and wife. He didn't bless all the other things. He blessed the man and his wife. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Try that any other way. And replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. I know I'm dabbling in political topics, sorry. And God said, behold, I give every tree, every herb-bearing seed upon the face of the earth, every tree, which is the fruit of the tree, yielding seed, so that you will, you shall be, so it, so you, to you it shall be for meat. There we go. And to every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, wherein there is life, I give every green herb for meat. And it was so. So again, God said, it was so. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. Evening, morning, it was a sixth day. You know, God keeps, he says it, it was so, he sees it, it's good. You know, there's a love here that's driving nature to do this. You know, God is causing these things to happen. There's a song that, I think Hillsong actually created it. I hope we have the opportunity to sing it in here at some point. It's called So Will I. You know, if the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. I mean, everything that we see in this passage screams how good God is, screams how much love he has for his people. Before we even created us, he had to make sure everything was perfect. Just so that we could inhabit in style. he didn't want us, you know, struggling, scratching at the earth, waiting for the tree to grow. He did all these things, and when he saw it, it was very good. It's a start of a beautiful relationship. This great love that's driving him to do these things. Again, God said it, God saw it, it was good. It was this homemaking process. And all this because he knew he was having kids. I mean, you know, most parents, as soon as they know they're going to have a kid, they go out and buy all kinds of junk and paint the room and fill it with all kinds of baby stuff. They have a baby yet? No. But they got to get it ready. They don't want to wait until that baby comes and go, now what do we do? Set them in the corner until we get the room fixed up. No. We're created like God. And God's like, no, I got to make this just right. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. That is so awesome. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. That behold, he's like, you got to see this word. That's like an intense word. And behold, what manner of love, another intensity word. Behold, what manner of love he has bestowed. That's that royalty word. You bestow a crown and a robe on someone. You know, you give them a sandwich. You don't bestow a sandwich on someone, right? You give them a sandwich. That's not royalty, but you bestow greatness on someone. And that's what this is saying. The New Living Translation says, see how much the Father loves us, that he calls us his children. And that is what we are. you know, the second half of that verse, but the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. So do you have a hard time sometimes with people of this world? You know, they don't recognize you because they don't know him. Romans 8:15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Again, here's this term of endearment, Papa. He wants us to call him. His love drives him so much that he doesn't want us to like cower before him. He wants us to jump up in his lap and say, Papa, Daddy, Abba, Father. Because it's love. It's not slavery. He didn't create us so that we could work the ground for him and be his slaves so that it could produce fruit and he could just put us to work because he didn't know what else to do with us. Saying, no, Abba, Father. John 15:8-9. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. And he's not talking about working in the garden so that he can have an income. So shall you be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Jesus is saying, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Father God loves you the same as he loves Jesus. I don't think things can get any more intense than Father God telling you, trying to explain to you that he loves you as much as he loves Jesus. His very own son that's right now sitting at his right hand side. His only begotten son. He loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Let's keep going. John 5:20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. Here it says that Jesus, that he loves Jesus and shows him all things. Keep in mind our connection with God as well. John 3:3, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. So not only does the Father love Jesus, but he's given him everything. He's put everything in Jesus' hand. Everything he has belongs to Jesus. You know what? Turn to Romans chapter 8. This one's important. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. The Father has shown Jesus all things. He's given Jesus all things. And here he says that we are heirs, joint heirs with Jesus. Everything that he gave to Jesus, we are partakers in. The love that he gave to Jesus, that's the same love he has for us. Everything he tells Jesus, he's telling us. Everything he gave to Jesus belongs to us as well. This kind of rates in the upper atmosphere, the upper ozone of, I don't get it. What do you mean? We get everything. What do you mean? All of it. What do you mean? That's one of those where you really need to spend some time with Papa and say, what do you mean? What have you given Jesus? Everything. I know you said that already, but what does that entail? Everything. You got to get this picture. You got to get the crazy love that he has. You got to get this driving force that he loves you so much that he wants you to have everything you need for every situation, in every circumstance, no matter what. Everything. That's how strong God's love is for you. It drives him to love you. He's just that crazy about you, and he's going to make sure that you have everything you need all the time. We just have to grasp that. That's the hard part. Do we really believe that? Do we really have the concept of that? Do we see what God is trying to do? He's trying to make us like him. He even wants us to create like he creates. He wants us to talk like he talks. He wants us to walk like he walks. He wants us to do the things that he did. Jesus said, I want you to do greater things than these. He wants us to operate in his kind of love. John chapter 16, starting in verse 13, says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine." This is Jesus trying to give us that picture that God is loving us so much. He's saying, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, he said, he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. As joint heirs with Jesus, we are given everything that has been given to Jesus. But if you can't see it, you can't have it. We need to get our mind wrapped around the Word of God and believe the Word of God and trust the Word of God that it's true, even if we don't understand it. Just agree with it. And that's where it becomes hard when you start disagreeing with certain areas of the Word of God. Like, God created man in his image, male and female created he him. You know, you start looking at those and you say, well, not necessarily. As soon as you start doubting that, then you start doubting how much God loves us. Then you start doubting what he gave us. Then you start doubting that everything that Jesus got, we get. That's the part we have to renew our minds to, that the Word of God is true. And it has more for us than we can actually grasp, than we can actually understand, than we can actually appropriate at this point, because our brain is blocking everything. Our mind is blocking things. Our will is standing in the way. Our emotions kind of drag us hither and yon. It stops us from receiving everything that God has for us. God's poured out his love towards us in maximum capacity. There's nothing being held back or kept from us. And having that revelation will be the driving force of your life. It's that revelation of who God is and how crazy in love with you he is. It really is a revelation. You have to receive that from him. He has to show it to you. If you try to get that on your own, if you try to comprehend it from just reading these words, if you try to figure it out from just the pages of the Bible, this is life. This is literally life. He's going to have to speak life into you to be able to grasp that. And I shared on Wednesday, I'll just share this. I'm not sure why, but while I was with Gina, we were watching some worship videos and, you know, just kind of worshiping God, and end up stumbling across a video from Ravi Zacharias, and he was having a conversation with, there was four of these great theologians. They're all, you know, dressed like this, and except they all had grayer hair than I did. Some had no hair, but anyway. And so he's talking about Joel Osteen and how he's not really preparing his church. He's just telling him all this fluff, and he's really not teaching him the truth of the cross and the gospel. They aren't really getting the gospel. And then sitting on the other side was R.C. Sproul, and R.C. Sproul says, you know, one of these great men of God, he was, you know, kind of making fun of it, because he said, you know, I'll withhold the names to hide the guilty. But anyway, he said, This one great man of God, again, he was joking about it, he said, says to me that he tells his people, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, and no matter who you've done it with, God is not mad at you. And these four guys just go, oh, and the entire church goes, oh. And then it was dead silence. It's like nobody knew what to say. Everybody was shocked to the core that somebody would say God's not mad. They were stunned. They didn't know what to think. I'm thinking, really? It really stuns you that God's angry at you? That the love of God doesn't come through the words that are written in, I mean, you can't read God through Jesus, that Jesus shows us who God is? And Jesus wasn't really angry at anybody. He was angry at some of the things that people did. People caught in the middle of sin. He's like, oh, you're forgiven. You're healed. Don't do that anymore. He never got angry at those people. He was angry at the people that were doing all kinds of weird things that weren't agreeing with him, but just to stop them from doing that, he's not mad. God is not an angry God. We get this idea. You know, when I saw that, I'm thinking, here, he's saying this guy doesn't know the gospel. I think it was you, Pastor Dorothy, that on Wednesday said, doesn't gospel mean good news? These guys are trying to say, God's angry at you. That's the gospel. That's the good news. God's mad at you. You can all go home and remember God's anger at you. The good news of the gospel. Amen. Have a nice day, everybody. Where do they get that idea? It's like, seriously? How about if we read the Word of God and say what He says? My goodness. All right, kind of got off track there. We got to believe this. We just have to understand this. John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. What if you have love one to another? He doesn't say if you're angry at one another, you're going to be my disciples, because God's angry, so you're going to be angry because God created you just like Him. We're all going to be angry together. No. If you have love one to another, God's love is shown through His disciples, us. You know what the verse is before that? John 13:34. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By the way, this is not a request. It says it's a command. John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You get the idea that God's angry at you. No wonder why people leave church and then they start flipping each other off in the parking lot and cussing and swearing all the way home and get home and kick the dog and beat the wife. And, well, because God's an angry God and I'm created in His image, right? Seriously? Oh, my gosh. Sorry. Get off on these crazy tangents. John 15:17. These things I command you, that you love one another. And you know what? God's never going to command us to do something without making us able to do it. Holy Spirit's there. Right on the inside. Holy Spirit gives us the ability to walk in that love regardless. He gives us the ability to do that. 1 John 4:10-11. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, not hated us, by the way. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. First, God loved us because of the driving force behind it. He sent Jesus to be the offering for sin. He was just so crazy about us. He's like, I gotta clear the path. I gotta make sure that there's nothing standing in the way between you and me, because I love you so much. I want you to jump in my lap, and whatever it is that's in the way is gone now. Remove all of those thoughts from your mind about there being any barrier between you and Papa, because He loves you that much. The idea is, do you believe it? Are you absolutely sure? Are we walking this stuff out? 1 John 4:21, and this commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Who is God? Love. What does He want you to do? Love. How does He feel about everybody? Love. I still can't fit the anger part in there, but I'm okay with that. I'll stick with the Word of God, that He loves me. And He's not going to stop loving me. And He's not angry at me. John 16:27, Jesus said, for the Father Himself loves you. Boy, we're getting really plain here. Because you have loved me and believed that I came from Him. So are you born again? Do you believe in Jesus? It's really simple. Romans 8:38-39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, including those up on stage with suits, shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You had to read between the lines here to really get the full meaning of it. I have to create my own version here. So are you persuaded? Are you on this list? Things present? Any other creature? Nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. And the only way you'll ever be able to love others is to receive that love that the Father has for us. That's the only way it's going to work. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. The NIV says, lavished upon us. that we should be called the sons of God. For you to be a real believer, useful in God's kingdom, bearing fruit, being faithful, you need to have a love relationship with our awesome God. It's absolutely vital. And it's the driving force. His crazy, wicked, whacked out love for you drives you crazy, so you just can't help but do the things he calls us to do. Every time I quit, every time I walk away, we were just talking about that, every time we go, I'm done, he just overwhelms you with that crazy love of his to ensure us that, yeah, just keep going. It's all going to be all right. We can't forget that. We can't let that go. We can't stop. We just got to, yeah, get that crazy with the love of God. Amen. 2 John 1, 5 and 6, and I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto you, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walked after his commandments. And this is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. What did we just talk about? Love. He sums it up in one word. So let his love be the driving force behind everything that you think and say and do. Amen? Amen. All right. Thanks for listening. All right. I'm going to pray. Father, we just believe that your love is just so crazy for us, that your word is true. That includes everything, Lord, from the words that simply call us to sit in your lap, call you Abba, Father, Daddy, Papa, to the intense, crazy words that say, by your stripes we are healed. Lord, we believe that. We receive that. We apply that to our body. We believe it with our mind. We speak it with our mouth. We trust that the word is true, that the word of God, Jesus, is alive and active, living in us, making these things come to pass, that you sent the Holy Spirit to be our confidence, to be our comforter, to be our reassurance that your word is true and that you are standing behind your word. You're watching over your word to perform it, to make sure that it does what you called it to do. Father, you're a God that likes to one-up yourself all the time. You always look down on us and say, you thought that was good? Wait for it. Just wait for it. Because we know you have more for us. God, we can't even imagine the greatness you have for us. So, Lord, here we stand. We just say, here we are. We receive because we believe. We thank you for it. We love you, Lord. We just look forward to great things that you have for us. Regardless of everything the world throws at us, Lord, regardless of what circumstances we walk through, Lord, we receive your word so that it's active in our lives. And that manifests as love for us, to us, on us, in us, through us, and out to others. Because we just can't help it. Because that's who you are. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.